This is The Growth Journey. Real life, real growth, divinely inspired. Where military discipline meets a ministry heart. With 40 years of life-shaping experience, including 22 years on active duty, and a deep calling to ministry, David Averett, CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach Nationwide, shares spirit-led wisdom and practical tools to transform your life. He's also the author of an ebook on growth, bringing even more insight to help you flourish in faith, marriage, leadership, character, church, and business. Ready for divinely inspired results? Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to The Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on an exploration of what I consider one of society's most valuable and perhaps underappreciated assets. Mm. We're talking about individuals who are, as the title of the memoir we're diving into suggests, hand-built by the nation. Mm-hmm. We're not just talking about leaders. We're talking about, well, a profound force, a $4 million leadership engine just waiting to be fully understood and leveraged.
Right.
Our mission today is really to uncover deep insights into this unique type of leadership and, crucially, to maybe help these remarkable individuals better understand their own extraordinary internal workings. It's going to be a truly illuminating journey, I think.
That's exactly right. Our core topic today is all about understanding these high-level strategists, particularly those whose strategic minds have been meticulously forged by years of military service, and they often face, you know, complex transitions back into civilian life.
Yeah.
This deep dive is based on a really compelling memoir. You could almost call it a dual playbook, if you will. Mm. It's a guide for leaders on how to effectively lead and integrate these individuals into their organizations, and at the same time, it offers a profound guide for the strategists themselves to gain a deeper understanding of their own unique operating system, you know, helping them harness their power.
Now, before we go any further, there's an absolutely vital disclaimer that the memoir itself explicitly states, and it's one we really want to echo clearly here. This content, and indeed our entire discussion today, it's strictly informational.
Okay.
Yes.
Crucial point.
It's designed to offer perspectives, maybe provoke thought, and share experiences and research related to high-level strategic thinking, especially within military service and its transition. It is not and should never ever be construed as medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Mm. Licensed medical professionals have not prepared this material.
That's right. And while the memoir draws upon, you know, extensive research and really valuable firsthand experience, the information provided is general. It might not apply to your specific health circumstances. Individual experiences and medical conditions vary greatly.
So
our fundamental goal today is really just to open your eyes to potential insights and strongly encourage you, the listener, to engage in candid conversations with your own qualified medical and mental health professionals. Talk to them about any health concerns, conditions, or treatment decisions you might be considering. You must always consult your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
And this is also key. If you're currently under medical care or engaged in any form of treatment, please continue to follow your doctor's or healthcare provider's recommendations without interruption. Seriously.
Don't stop anything.
Exactly. Mm. And if your medical professional suggests new treatments or changes to your current regimen, you must follow their professional guidance. This memoir and our deep dive, they're not substitutes for like a professional medical journal or clinical guidance.
Not at all.
Your health and well-being are paramount, and professional consultation is truly irreplaceable. We cannot stress that enough. Please keep that right at the forefront of your mind as we delve into this discussion. Okay, so with that essential understanding in place, let's turn our attention to the author of this memoir, David Averett. He makes it clear right from the outset that this mission is deeply personal to him. He states, and I quote directly here, "This mission is deeply personal to me. I'm David Averett, the CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach, a chaplain with the organization, and a retired military person."
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important to note his background. He was a military leader. Emphasizes he was not a military chaplain, and his current role is as a chaplain in the jail system. That unique combination of experience really sets the stage, doesn't it?
It really does. That personal connection is what truly lends such authenticity and profound insight to the memoir. Mr. Averett isn't just someone observing from the outside. He has lived this journey. He intimately understands the mindset, the challenges, and the incredible strengths that come from decades of military service. This firsthand perspective makes his observations incredibly powerful and, you know, relatable, whether you've walked a similar path or you're simply seeking to understand it better.
So that brings us right to the evocative main title of this memoir, Hand Built by the Nation, The $4 Million Leadership Engine Awaits. When you read that title, what's the core message that jumps out at you? What does it truly mean?
It speaks volumes about value, doesn't it? The central concept is that these individuals are not just leaders. They are incredibly powerful, meticulously developed, extensively trained, and profoundly invested in by the nation over decades.
Wow.
The $4 million figure isn't hyperbole, and we'll definitely dive into what that truly represents later. It's a powerful metaphor for the immense value and sort of the cumulative investment made in them, shaping them into extraordinary engines of leadership, ready to be deployed, really, into any environment.
Let's start right there with that striking figure then. The memoir poses the question. Your $4 million machine, engineered for excellence. Can you elaborate on this astonishing investment? Did you know, for instance, that the U.S. government invests well over $4 million in a military person who retires after 20 or more years?
Yeah.
That number reflects decades of leadership, training, special skill sets, and unwavering service. It's a staggering thought, really.
It absolutely is. And this isn't merely a financial calculation, although the monetary figure is, you know, substantial.
Sure.
It's a cumulative investment of time, rigorous experience, and relentless development. I mean, consider the sheer breadth of scenarios they've navigated, complex logistical challenges, high-stakes decision-making under intense pressure, leading diverse teams across varied cultures, solving problems that impact lives and national security.
Right.
This immense dedication from the nation shapes these individuals into some of the most highly train and experienced leaders available to any organization, civilian or otherwise. It means they arrive in your organization with just an unparalleled foundation of capability, not just from what they've been taught, but from what they've intensely experienced.
And this leads us directly to a lifeline for the strategic mind, which is deeply connected to Chaplain David Everett's organization, CHAL Outreach. He states, and I'm quoting him directly again, at CHAL Outreach, we're dedicated to a vital mission, reaching those who need a lifeline. How does this memoir serve that mission?
Well, Mr. Averett's organization, CHAL Outreach, accomplishes this vital mission through a multi-pronged approach. By producing podcasts like this one you're listening to, by writing and distributing this insightful memoir, and by consistently sharing social media posts,
okay.
The overarching goal is singular and powerful, to widely spread the word that they are a resource, that they're there to help. This support is particularly critical for high-level strategists who often face unique challenges in their transition, but it also extends to anyone who just needs hope and a second chance. That really underscores the organization's broad, compassionate reach. It's about providing guidance and connection to those who might feel, you know, adrift.
But even with all that unparalleled training and dedication, the memoir doesn't shy away from addressing the silent struggle and urgent call. The challenges that high-level strategists can face once they leave active service.
It's a sobering reminder, isn't it, that their journey isn't always smooth sailing despite their incredible fortitude.
Precisely. Yeah. The memoir outlines a potentially devastating domino effect when these individuals grapple with substance abuse or mental health challenges and don't seek assistance. They can face increased vulnerability to legal troubles, disciplinary actions, family breakdown, including divorce. It's a stark picture.
The memoir cites that studies indicate alcohol misuse is, unfortunately, common in the military, and untreated substance use disorders can create a devastating domino effect on relationships, work performance, and overall well-being.
So the message is clear then?
Absolutely. The clear message from the memoir is that seeking help early and strategically refocusing energy on healthy coping mechanisms is absolutely crucial for long-term success and stability. And it's important to note, the memoir incorporates valuable information from the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation and the Army Public Health to inform this discussion. That lends significant credibility and a research-backed perspective to this critical issue of well-being.
That makes the memoir an incredibly essential resource, not just for leaders, but for the strategists themselves. And I think it's critical to emphasize, as the memoir does, that a uniform doesn't define your strategic mind. It's universal. This isn't solely for former military personnel, right?
Not at all. And the memoir makes this distinction very clear. It's crafted for anyone who identifies as a high-level strategist, regardless of their specific career path. Whether you've retired from a police force, served as a firefighter, dedicated yourself to public service, or excelled as a doctor or nurse, the insights offered can profoundly benefit you. Now, while the memoir primarily draws on military aspects, given Chaplain David Averitt's deep understanding of that specific journey as a military retiree himself,
right,
the strategic principles, the unique mindset, the leadership qualities discussed, they're universal. They apply across professions where high-stakes decision-making, systematic problem-solving, and a mission-driven approach are paramount.
So for you, the listener, whether you see these traits in yourself or you're looking to better understand a colleague or maybe a family member, let's dive deeper. Let's gain a profound understanding of how we can support this critical journey. Now, here's where we really start to peel back the layers. The memoir delves into the distinctive mindset of these strategists, revealing a fascinating and frankly powerful portrait of how they think, what sets them apart cognitively.
Yeah. This section of the memoir truly unpacks the unique cognitive traits forged by years of military training. It highlights specific, highly refined skills. Things like an almost innate situational awareness, hyper-efficient rapid problem solving, and an unwavering drive for systemic improvement. Think of it this way. This individual isn't just passively observing. They are naturally scanning their surroundings with a finely tuned radar. They're anticipating challenges before they fully emerge, pinpointing organizational weaknesses or growth opportunities with remarkable precision.
Wow.
These are undeniable hallmarks of strategic thinking at its highest level. It's a mind that is constantly analyzing, anticipating, and optimizing, not just reacting to what's immediately in front of them.
That distinctive mindset, with its hyper-awareness and problem-solving drive, sounds incredibly powerful. But how does that translate into their day-to-day operations? What are the core foundational traits that truly define how these strategists function in any environment? What's the core operating system that defines them?
Right. The memoir lays out these foundational traits really clearly. First, they are a systems thinking extraordinaire.
Okay. What does that mean practically?
Well, imagine a civilian leader trying to fix a single broken process. A military strategist with this systems thinking extraordinaire wouldn't just fix that one gear. They'd instantly visualize the entire engine schematic.
Wow.
They'd see how that one gear impacts supply chains, human resources, maybe even morale. The insight here is their innate ability to foresee ripple effects, turning small adjustments into widespread optimization. They often see solutions before others even recognize the problem's full scope.
Got it. And the second trait.
Second, they are a proactive problem solver. It's not just about finding problems. For them, identifying an issue immediately triggers this hardwired imperative to propose actionable, systematic solutions. Their minds are constantly running scenarios, not just isolating flaws, but rapidly constructing pathways to optimized outcomes. It's a proactive, almost anticipatory problem solving, born from environments where a reactive approach could be, well, catastrophic.
Makes sense. And the third.
And third, they have a mission-driven focus. Their entire approach is anchored to clearly defined objectives and desired outcomes. They consistently prioritize the success of the mission or the organization above personal comfort, routine, or any minor distractions. Everything they do is viewed through the singular lens of achieving the larger overarching goal, no matter the obstacles.
And it's not just about solving problems themselves, is it? The memoir also talks about their ability as a master of influence and leadership. When you talk about master of influence, I immediately think of maybe the stereotype of a rigid military commander. But the memoir seems to suggest something far more nuanced. How do these strategists adapt their influence styles for the civilian world, where just commanding might not be the most effective approach?
That's an excellent point. The memoir describes a leader who not only directs and commands, but also cultivates the profound ability to influence and mentor others. They skillfully adapt their communication styles for greater impact in civilian environments. They understand that what works in one setting, like direct orders, might not work in another, where collaboration and persuasion are key.
Right.
This isn't just about giving orders. It's about inspiring, guiding, and subtly shaping the capabilities and actions of those around them through strategic communication. This strategic depth of influence, often achieved through quiet guidance and leading by example, is a key differentiator.
Which naturally leads to unrivaled adaptability. How did these highly specific military skills transfer so seamlessly into a civilian context?
Well, these high-level strategists seamlessly transfer their military-honed skills to civilian life with remarkable ease, actually.
Yeah.
They apply them to build thriving businesses, enhance the operations of churches, uplift nonprofit organizations, showcasing remarkable versatility and high-level strategic application. For instance, a logistical expert from the military might transition to optimizing complex supply chains for a major corporation, or a strategic planner might help a nonprofit scale its outreach programs across multiple states. Their ability to see the big picture, analyze complex situations, and break it down into actionable steps is incredibly valuable anywhere.
It sounds like they don't just solve problems for themselves, but they're also multipliers of talent.
You're exactly right. They are absolutely multipliers of talent. Their focus extends far beyond individual achievement. They are actively engaged in training, mentoring, and empowering others. This is a clear indicator of a strategic leader who thinks beyond themselves, understanding that true, sustainable impact comes from building the capacity of an entire team.
Yeah.
They want to leave an organization stronger than they found it, primarily through the people within it, by nurturing their capabilities.
So ultimately, the memoir describes them as a rare asset. It even dedicates a section specifically to leaders and pastors, detailing how to best leverage and support individuals with this unique mindset.
Yes, and it underscores that they truly are a rare, high-level strategic asset. In essence, these are not just strategists. They're high-level strategists, individuals who operate at a systems and organizational level. They possess the innate ability to grasp the big picture, anticipate challenges, and catalyze meaningful change across an entire enterprise. Their background, mindset, and approach are precisely what one would expect from a senior military leader or an executive-level strategist. They are an elite force of intellect and drive, a profound investment.
Now, this section of the memoir really pivots to you, the listener, inviting a moment of profound self-discovery. Has your mind ever felt like it operates on a completely different frequency than others? Do you instinctively perceive intricate patterns, interconnected systems, and elegant solutions where others might see only chaos or disjointed problems?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a relentless inherent drive within you to improve, to fix, to lead, and to achieve every mission? A drive that feels less like a choice and more like a core, non-negotiable part of your very being? If these questions resonate with you on a deep level, understand this. You are not broken. You are not too intense or overthinking things.
That's such a crucial point of reassurance, and the memoir drives it home. You are, in fact, a strategist. And the very traits that can sometimes feel isolating or overwhelming in a civilian world are, in reality, your most incredible superpowers waiting to be unleashed. This memoir aims to help you recognize, validate, and strategically harness that immense power within you.
And Chaplain David's personal journey ties directly into this self-discovery. He states, and it's a powerful declaration, "I'm Chaplain David Averett, and my mission is to help individuals discover second chances and renewed hope in life."
And this memoir is specifically designed to bridge the gaps for individuals with these highly analytical skills that can profoundly benefit any organization, business, or church. Mr. Averett emphasizes his deep understanding of military backgrounds because, as he states, he is one of them.
Right.
He has walked this path, experienced these unique thought processes firsthand, and now dedicates himself to helping others navigate their own strategic minds, showing them how to channel their extraordinary abilities for positive impact.
Okay, let's dig deeper then into the strategic mind's wiring. The memoir goes into specific cognitive patterns, starting with the sentinel's edge, from constant vigilance to masterful situational awareness. Expert, what does that mean for how these minds work, and how should it be understood? Is it like being anxious all the time?
That's a great question. The memoir describes a phenomenon many strategists possess, termed the sentinel's edge. And no, it's not necessarily the anxious hypervigilance you might think of as a medical term, being perpetually on edge where every shadow feels like a threat. Instead, for these individuals, it's a highly refined, adaptive situational awareness, a consciously controlled state of observation where every detail feels relevant. It's like a finely tuned radar, constantly assessing for opportunities or challenges, not just immediate threats.
Yeah.
They're ceaseless scanning, meticulous attention to detail, even maybe automatically counting things. It's presented as a learned strategic response, a tool they wield to assess and control their environment for safety and efficiency, rather than an automatic distressing state. It's about channeling intense awareness productively.
That sounds like an internal whirlwind of innovation almost. Which brings us to the innovation engine, when rapid thoughts spark breakthroughs. What happens when these minds are in contemplative settings, like during quiet reflection? Do they switch off?
Not usually, no. What the memoir highlights here is often a veritable cascade of ideas in those contemplative settings, whether it's sermon concepts, ebook outlines, podcast themes, you name it. This is described as a manifestation of racing thoughts. Now, while racing thoughts are often linked to anxiety or other conditions, in this unique context, the memoir suggests they channel into highly creative and profoundly productive ideation.
Interesting.
The underlying mechanics are explained as heightened arousal, where the mind processes information at an accelerated rate, and a mind on overdrive, where cognitive energy is powerfully redirected from threat identification, as it might be in a combat zone, to pure creativity and systematic problem solving. It's like a mental engine constantly generating breakthroughs.
That's an incredibly potent internal force. And then there's the higher drive state, mastering hyperfocus and unyielding energy.
What does that look like in daily life for these strategists? Is it just endless energy?
Well, this section describes what the memoir calls hypomania-like states, which are characterized by elevated energy, mood, and activity that are frequently highly productive and profoundly gratifying for the individual. Specific characteristics include elevated energy and increased goal-directed activity. They're almost always engaged in doing something constructive and productive. There's often a decreased need for sleep, not because they're unwell, but because they simply feel too energized and driven to stop.
Yeah.
And those racing thoughts or flight of ideas are perceived not as overwhelming or chaotic, but as insightful, leading to rapid breakthroughs and solutions. A key element here is hyperfocus, an intense state of mental concentration where you become so utterly absorbed in a task that you tune out everything else around you. It's a superpower for productivity, allowing them to achieve remarkable output.
But there's a downside.
Yes. The memoir cautions that there is an inherent risk of burnout due to the sheer intensity and sustained output required. Understanding this balance, knowing when to push and when to recharge, is key for any strategist operating like this.
This sounds incredibly powerful. But it also sounds like some of these traits might be easily misunderstood. The memoir addresses this with a critical distinction. Why your strategic brain's wiring isn't disorder. It specifically mentions how behaviors like counting everything might be misinterpreted.
That's a crucial point the memoir emphasizes. While behaviors like constantly counting things or meticulous arrangement might, on the surface, suggest something like obsessive-compulsive disorder or OCD.
Why, I can see that.
It is absolutely crucial to differentiate between the behavior itself and its underlying driver in this context. The core difference, the memoir points out, is that OCD typically involves unwanted, intrusive, and persistent thoughts that invariably cause significant anxiety or distress, often driving repetitive behaviors to neutralize that distress. Your thoughts, however, as the memoir describes them for the strategist, are often your best thoughts and ideas, which is the exact antithesis of that distressing experience. Therefore, counting, in this context, appears to be an integral component of that situational awareness we talked about, a learned strategic response to assess and control your environment for safety, efficiency, or comprehensive understanding, rather than to neutralize a specific distressing thought. It's a tool for gathering intelligence and maintaining control, not a compulsion driven by anxiety.
So the goal here for you, the listener, whether you're a strategist or leading one, is not to pathologize these traits, but to embrace and understand them.
Precisely. The memoir emphasizes your mind doesn't need to be fixed. It needs to be profoundly understood, strategically harnessed, and powerfully deployed. It's time for those who resonate with these descriptions to stop perceiving your most significant assets as challenges and start wielding them strategically to build, create, and lead. It's about recognizing and celebrating your unique cognitive strengths as truly exceptional capabilities.
Okay, here's where the rubber meets the road, as they say. We've talked about the theory and the distinctive mindset. Now let's talk about transformative power in action. The memoir highlights how these high-level strategic thinkers, especially those with military backgrounds, literally transform organizations in tangible ways.
Yeah, these scenarios from the memoir provide really concrete proof of their impact. They demonstrate how strategic thinking, rigorously honed in demanding military environments, translates directly into measurable improvements in diverse civilian settings.
Mm-hmm.
It's about applying a systematic, mission-oriented, and results-driven approach to seemingly disparate problems, leading to profound, positive change that resonates across the entire organization.
Let's jump into some case studies, examples of excellence directly from the memoir then.
Yeah.
First, how did a strategist contribute to streamlining church operations? Sounds like a common challenge.
It really is. In one scenario, a strategist with that inherent understanding of processes helped a, let's say, disorganized church create clear volunteer roles and incredibly efficient operational procedures. The impact was immediate and profound. Smoother events, volunteers who felt more engaged and actually utilized, and significant saved resources, both time and money. Members noticed a remarkably more welcoming and organized environment, which undoubtedly improved their overall experience and the church's effectiveness in serving its congregation.
That's huge. And beyond internal operations, what about launching new outreach? How did strategy play a role there?
Another example shows a strategist using their deep planning expertise to help a church connect more effectively with young families in their community. This wasn't just about, you know, putting up a flyer.
Right.
It involved strategic demographic analysis, the development of targeted programming, and effective tailored communication campaigns. The result was impressive. Doubled event attendance and the church quickly gaining a reputation as a vibrant community hub, attracting new members and fulfilling its mission more broadly and dynamically.
Wow. And in today's complex world, safety is absolutely paramount for any organization. How did a strategist contribute to crisis and security management?
The memoir describes a strategist who developed comprehensive emergency plans and meticulously trained staff on robust security protocols. This wasn't a superficial exercise. It involved detailed risk assessments, scenario planning, practical drills.
Serious stuff.
Very serious. This proactive approach significantly enhanced safety and preparedness for any unexpected situation, from natural disasters to more localized threats. This brings a profound sense of calm and confidence to the organization and its members, knowing that serious expert thought has gone into their protection and resilience.
And money matters for the sustainability of any organization, especially nonprofits and churches. How did a strategist impact improving fundraising?
Here, a strategist with an eye for systems optimized church finances and then launched a highly successful fundraising campaign. This involved detailed budgeting, identifying funding gaps with precision, crafting compelling narratives to inspire giving, all while implementing efficient tracking systems.
Mm.
The direct result was a significant increase in giving and the ability to fund vital new initiatives that had previously been out of reach, clearly demonstrating a tangible return on the strategic investment made in their expertise.
Finally, what about building community partnerships? How did a strategist foster those connections outside the organization's walls?
A strategist adept at forging relationships and seeing broader opportunities initiated and nurtured alliances with various local groups. This extended the church's reach and impact far beyond its immediate walls.
Right.
This resulted in new community programs that address specific, identified needs within the area and establish the church as a trusted community partner, serving hundreds of families who might not otherwise have engaged. This proactive networking and collaboration amplifies the organization's influence and deepens its connection to the community it serves.
So after hearing these concrete examples, what does this all mean for anyone looking to bring these skills into an organization? What's the bottom line and the strategic advantage defined for integrating these individuals?
The memoir synthesizes it beautifully. High-level strategists bring invaluable skills to any organization, consistently resulting in enhanced efficiency, expanded outreach, improved safety, greater financial stability, and a more profound community impact. It doesn't just list skills. It outlines 7 key transformative benefits: boosted efficiency and structure, clear vision and planning, stronger leadership in teams, effective community engagement, robust risk management, smarter resource and fundraising, and powerful partnerships.
That's quite a list.
It is. In overall summary, a high strategist empowers an organization to fundamentally improve its structure, clarify its vision, strengthen its leadership, amplify its outreach, bolster its safety, optimize its finances, and deepen its community impact. Ultimately, they help an organization fulfill its mission in powerful and previously unimaginable new ways. They are truly catalysts for comprehensive, positive change.
Shifting gears now, let's look at this from a leader's perspective, because the memoir really makes the powerful case that these individuals are the rarest asset. How rare are we talking?
and it quantifies that rarity in a truly insightful way. Approximately 17%, just 1.7% of those who enter military service stay for a full 20 years to retire.
Wow, only 17%.
Think about that. These are individuals who have not only survived, but actually thrived in one of the world's most demanding and complex environments. They are, in essence, graduates of a two-decade-long continuous leadership academy, forged through countless deployments, high-pressure federal missions, challenging state operations. Their sustained performance over such an extensive period speaks volumes about their resilience, discipline, unparalleled leadership capabilities, and unwavering commitment.
That brings us back to the multi-million-dollar investment. You mentioned earlier that the $4 million figure is more than just money. What does the memoir mean when it says, the best part is that you're getting a machine with over 4 million features?
The memoir drives this point home powerfully, stating, the best part is that you're getting a machine with over 4 million features that provides education, mentorship, and skills in multiple areas. Let's use them. It's not just a financial figure. It's a shorthand for the immense, multifaceted, and continuous development these individuals undergo. They don't just accumulate experience. They refine it through structured training, mentorship, real-world application. They arrive in your organization with an unparalleled breadth of capabilities that have been rigorously tested and refined in environments where precision and excellence are non-negotiable.
This leads us to challenging common perceptions. The memoir urges us to forget the stereotype of the trigger puller. A senior military leader's combat skills are just one tool in a vast array. It seems they are a dozen professions in one. Can you elaborate on the sheer breadth of skills the memoir highlights?
They absolutely are. Over 20 years, these individuals become masters of, maybe a dozen professions at once, not just one. Take executive leadership and human resources, for instance. They're accustomed to leading large teams, anywhere from 100 to maybe 18,000 personnel.
Incredible scale.
It's huge scale. They've managed incredibly complex payrolls, navigated intricate family issues with empathy and problem solving, overseen disciplinary actions with fairness and rigor, and spearheaded talent development on an enormous scale across diverse populations. Then there's logistics and operations management. They've been responsible for billions with a B in equipment, managing vast global supply chains, ensuring maintenance schedules are met under austere conditions, providing food services for thousands, adhering to strict mission timelines, overseeing leave schedules for entire units. They are truly experts in timely, efficient resource deployment, often in highly dynamic and resource-constrained environments. And consider investigations and risk management. They possess extensive hands-on experience in investigative work, identifying insider threats, implementing robust security protocols. This translates into an innate, almost instinctive ability to foresee, assess, and mitigate risks, whether in a corporate setting, a nonprofit, or a community organization. They think proactively about potential vulnerabilities.
That's invaluable.
Totally. And finally, their administration and communication skills are elite, honed by the absolute necessity of clear, precise briefing and reporting in high-stakes situations. Ambiguity or miscommunication can have dire consequences in the military, so they become masters of conveying complex information accurately, concisely, and efficiently to diverse audiences.
And it's not just practical experience, is it? They come with what the memoir calls advanced degrees in discipline. How does their military education translate to civilian credentials? Is it like getting a master's?
That's right. Everything they do is backed by relentless, continuous training and the highest levels of professional military education, or PME. In civilian terms, the memoir points out that 20 years of military service with its consistent PME is often considered by employers and academic institutions to be equivalent to at least a master's degree. Yeah, and in many cases, a master's degree is specifically in management, strategic skill sets, or leadership. Furthermore, many individuals also earned specialized military degrees focused specifically on strategy, which are highly respected both within the military and in civilian circles of national security and policy.
Like what kind of degrees?
These often carry names like Master of Strategic Studies, Master of Arts in Strategic Security, Master of Science in Strategic Intelligence, Master of Science, or Master of Military Art and Science. These aren't just theoretical studies. They are rigorously applied, equipping them with both theoretical depth and practical application at an executive level. Think PhD equivalents in security studies or international relations sometimes.
So it's a comprehensive, decades-long process.
Yeah.
How exactly is a strategic mastermind actually forged in service? What's the secret formula, if there is one?
Well, the memoir states there is no single magic formula, but a long and dedicated military career, ideally spanning 20 years or more significantly, increases the chances of cultivating a high-level strategist.
Makes sense.
This tenure allows for the gradual, almost organic accumulation of critical knowledge, diverse and challenging experiences, rigorously refined leadership skills, and invaluable professional relationships forged under pressure. The military's comprehensive system of structured schooling, continuous mentorship, demanding deployments, and a culture of continuous learning further enhances and hones these skills over time, creating a truly robust, resilient, and multifaceted leader.
And here's a surprising insight from the memoir. Decoding the quiet strategist, why they don't boast. You might meet someone who just exudes strategic thinking, incredible capability, but you might not even know their past. The memoir asks, they ran operations, now they're quiet. Why? What's behind that?
It's a common and often misunderstood observation. After years of high-stakes operations, these high-level strategists often value privacy above all else and maintain a deep, singular focus on the present and the future rather than dwelling on past achievements. Their silence isn't about secrecy or a lack of pride. It's often a profound desire for normalcy and a deep, ingrained commitment to quietly solving today's challenges with the hard-earned wisdom they've accumulated. They're typically more interested in what's next and how they can contribute effectively now rather than recounting past glories. This point is expanded upon beautifully in The Silent Service and why it matters. Unlike the Hollywood stereotype of the loud, boastful veteran, many high-ranking military high-level strategists are surprisingly quiet about their past.
Why is that?
The memoir provides several compelling reasons. First, privacy is paramount. They're trained to be discreet. Security is always a concern for them, operational or personal, and they're not about to spill classified or sensitive information at a dinner party.
Okay.
Second, humility wins. They've been there, done that. They're not interested in bragging. They're focused on what's next, on contributing silently but effectively without drawing undue attention. And third, normalcy beckons. After years of intense service, they crave a regular life. They genuinely want to be seen as more than just the veteran and to integrate seamlessly and authentically into their civilian communities and roles.
So if they're not boasting about their past, how do you spot them in a crowd or within an organization? What's the code they live by?
The memoir explains that it's not about medals or war stories. It's about their actions and their intrinsic, often unspoken values. You can spot them because they are problem solvers extraordinaire. They simply can't help but identify inefficiencies and then work to make things fundamentally better.
Okay.
They are honest to a fault, valuing direct, clear communication, even when it's uncomfortable, because precision matters. And they are always learning, constantly seeking new knowledge, new skills, new ways to improve themselves and their environment, seeing every challenge as an opportunity for growth. These are the quiet, unmistakable cues that reveal a truly strategic mind at work.
Which brings us to the ultimate question for any organization, whether it's a business, a nonprofit, or a church, why you want them on your team. So what does this all mean for your organization?
Bringing a military strategist into your organization is truly like adding a secret weapon to your arsenal, a profoundly valuable asset. They bring an unparalleled combination of strategic thinking, exceptional leadership skills honed in diverse and demanding environments, formidable problem-solving abilities that operate at a systems level, and a deeply ingrained sense of ethical decision-making. The memoir concludes that military high-level strategists are an invaluable asset to any organization. They may be quiet, often humble, but they are intensely driven to make a significant, lasting difference wherever they are.
And for leaders out there, how do you effectively lead these remarkable individuals? What's the strategic command? The leader's playbook that the memoir offers? This sounds crucial.
It really is. Chaplain David Everett offers a truly profound insight for leaders in this section. He states, "When an individual of this caliber, with a background in service, offers to assist your organization or church, especially with little or no compensation, understand the profound truth. They are not merely seeking a job, they are fervently searching for a mission."
Wow. Searching for a mission.
Exactly. They see unparalleled potential in your vision and are driven to contribute their lifetime of invaluable experience to help you unequivocally achieve it.
So how do you lead someone like that?
The memoir details a specific kind of leadership these individuals not only thrive under, but require for optimal effectiveness. Firstly, you must provide clear, measurable objectives. They thrive on a crystal clear mission, precisely defined goals, not vague ideas or ambiguous directives. Give them the what and the why, clearly.
Okay, clear objectives. What else?
Secondly, value their directness, never canalize it. See their blunt, direct feedback as an invaluable gift, a complimentary red team analysis that strengthens strategies. Respond with profound gratitude as it comes from a place of deep analysis and a singular desire for mission success, not personal criticism. Don't get defensive.
That's a mindset shift for some leaders, I bet.
It definitely can be. Thirdly, grant unfettered autonomy. Trust them implicitly. Once the objective is clear, grant them the complete autonomy to tackle it. The memoir issues a stern warning here that every leader should heed. Micromanaging a person expertly trained in mission command is the swiftest and surest way to neutralize their effectiveness altogether. Just let them run.
Don't micromanage. Got it. And finally,
listen and act on strategic intelligence. Absorb their instruction, their insights, their recommendations, and crucially, implement them. They are rigorously trained to analyze, plan, and execute at an elite level, and they are equally adept at identifying their own missteps, rectifying them swiftly, and achieving optimal results. Your role as a leader is to unleash their potential, not to constrain it. Trust their process.
Moving into a deeply fascinating dimension of this memoir, it also explores a deeper calling. What happens, expert, when a high strategist with decades of military service also holds strong Christian values? How does faith intersect with the strategic mind?
Yeah, this section of the memoir explores that profound and multi-layered impact. When a high strategist with over 20 years of military service also holds strong Christian values, their influence on their church, their faith-based organization, and even their own personal journey becomes incredibly profound and deeply integrated. This section specifically examines what the King James Version of the Bible has to say about such strategic individuals who love the Lord. It's an integration of deep strategic thought with unwavering faith, showing how the two can powerfully converge.
The memoir gives some truly evocative titles to these individuals in the scriptures and the high strategist. What are some of those powerful descriptions? They sound quite poetic.
They really are. The scriptures, when viewed through this lens, reveal these individuals to be the quiet crusaders, unmasking the strategic and spiritual power of service leaders. They are truly beyond the metals, how faith fuels the hidden genius of military strategists. They often embody the essence of, from battlefield to blessed, why godly strategists serve quietly. And they are truly God's generals in civilian clothes, understanding their quiet impact.
Wow, God's generals in civilian clothes. Powerful imagery.
It is. And Mr. Averitt strongly urges the listener in the memoir, stating, if you ever come across one, I urge you. Love them, pray with them, truly listen to them, and involve them deeply in your faith-based organization and church. They are truly God's messengers for helping and building, for how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And that's Isaiah 52, verse 7.
Isaiah 52, verse 7. Got it.
He emphasizes that when you ask for help, God often sends a highly Christian strategist, and the memoir provides even more details and biblical examples with scriptures.
So it's about connecting their strategic mind to something divine. Let's look at God-given wisdom and counsel. How does the memoir show that their strategic capabilities are rooted in faith?
Well, the scriptures emphasize that true wisdom and understanding come directly from God. Proverbs 2, verse 6 states, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding."
Okay.
This suggests that for the spirit-led strategist, their ability to discern, analyze, and comprehend intricate situations is seen as a divine gift. And Isaiah 28, verse 29 reinforces this, saying, "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." It implies that their strategic capabilities are, in a profound sense, divinely inspired and wonderfully effective.
And how does this integrate with their planning? Mm-hmm. There's a concept of divine planning and direction that sounds like a powerful combination.
Absolutely. The Bible recognizes the human role in planning and devising ways, acknowledging that we make our plans. However, it consistently attributes ultimate direction and establishment of thoughts and steps to God. Proverbs 16, verse 9 states, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And Proverbs 16, verse 3 adds, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." This means for these strategists, their meticulously crafted strategic plans are not just brilliant. They are often seen as aligning with a higher divine purpose, believing their steps are being guided.
What about their character? How do these strategists lead with integrity and humility reflecting their faith?
The memoir highlights that qualities expected of biblical leaders include unwavering integrity, deep humility, and being above reproach in their conduct. James 3, verse 13 asks, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." This points to wisdom being demonstrated not through boasting, but through humble, consistent, and positive actions. And Proverbs 11, verse 2 warns, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." These verses underline that true strategic leadership, when guided by faith, is characterized by moral uprightness, a humble spirit, and a focus on selfless service rather than personal glory.
The memoir also gives us some incredible historical examples of biblical strategists. Who stands out from scripture in this context?
Oh yeah, some great examples. First, Joseph is presented as an excellent example of a high strategist in the Bible. He not only interpreted Pharaoh's dreams with divine insight, but then developed a meticulous multi-year plan to save Egypt and the surrounding nations from a devastating famine. Talk about thinking around the corner. That's in Genesis 41.
Amazing foresight. Who else?
Then there's Moses, characterized as a strategic leader, guiding the Israelites from Egyptian bondage and through the wilderness for 40 years. He established complex laws, organized a burgeoning nation, navigated countless challenges, logistical and spiritual, through divine guidance. That's all through the book of Exodus.
And the massive undertaking.
Huge. Nehemiah is highlighted as a master strategist in rebuilding Jerusalem's walls. He meticulously planned every step, organized the workforce, dealt with internal and external opposition with incredible resolve, and rallied his people through prayer and unwavering determination. You find that in the book of Nehemiah. His leadership was just this blend of spiritual conviction and practical strategic execution. And finally, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who used profound strategic thinking in his missionary journeys. He meticulously planned his routes, established churches across the Roman Empire, and tailored his approach and message to effectively spread the gospel to diverse audiences. You see that in the book of Acts and his letters, like Philemon. These are all powerful examples of spiritual leaders with exceptionally strategic minds.
How does this spiritual dimension profoundly impact the individual strategist's own walk of faith? The section is Impact on the Individual's Spiritual Walk.
It leads to several profound and interconnected benefits for the individual. First, a deepened relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. Their inherent drive to understand systems, to analyze and optimize, extends naturally to spiritual pursuits.
Makes sense.
They seek God's will and the Holy Spirit's guidance with a purpose and intensity that others might not possess. They often feel a strong, tangible sense of being in tune with the Lord and experience his guidance as a real guiding force. The memoir notes this is linked to greater psychological well-being and a sense of peace.
That's fascinating. What else?
Second, it leads to a strategic study of the Word. Their drive to improve systems and solve problems leads them to methodical, in-depth Bible study. They apply that same systems thinking mindset to find divine truth, dissecting scriptures to understand principles and apply them practically to their lives and their missions. It's not passive reading, it's active analysis for application. Third, there's a strong sense of guidance in accomplishing God's tasks. Their belief in being tuned with the Lord fuels their purpose, directing their formidable problem-solving capabilities towards divinely appointed tasks. This often leads to extraordinary accomplishments that seem to transcend mere human capacity as they feel empowered by a higher calling. And finally, ethical anchoring and resilience. Christian moral virtues provide a robust ethical framework for their decision-making in all aspects of life. This unwavering commitment to integrity contributes significantly to their overall well-being, happiness, and remarkable resilience, especially when operating in high-stakes environments where moral clarity is paramount. Their faith provides a solid, unshakable foundation.
And how does this translate to the larger community, the impact on church or faith-based organization? The benefits sound immense for the group, too.
They really are. For faith-based entities, the benefits are indeed immense and transformative. There's enhanced mission fulfillment and spiritual direction. Their strategic drive aligns perfectly with spiritual goals, and their vision is often deeply informed by being in tune with the Lord, leading to highly effective and spiritually aligned ministry plans that truly make an impact. Then there's strategic growth and sustainability with divine guidance. They apply their analytical skills to identify flaws and growth opportunities for ministry expansion. This is achieved through prayerful discernment and Holy Spirit guidance, leading to truly sustainable and impactful growth that is both methodical and divinely inspired.
Wow.
They bring strong ethical leadership, grounded in faith. Their disciplined leadership strengthens governance within the organization, coupled with an unwavering commitment to integrity and selfless service. They lead with profound spiritual conviction, fostering an environment of trust and accountability.
What about outreach?
Enhanced outreach and community impact, rooted in compassion. Their strategic approach allows them to develop sophisticated, targeted engagement plans for evangelism and community service, all driven by a deep Christian compassion that seeks to genuinely serve and uplift others in practical ways.
And in tough times.
Critically, resilience in crisis with faith as a cornerstone. They apply their risk management expertise to develop robust security protocols and emergency plans, but they do so relying on God's protection and stewardship, integrating practical measures with spiritual reliance in times of uncertainty.
That's key.
And lastly, they facilitate mentorship and multiplication with spiritual depth. Their natural inclination to train, mentor, and empower aligns perfectly with discipleship goals, nurturing new leaders in both strategic vision and core Christian values, ensuring the longevity and depth of the organization's mission.
So what's the overall essence of a Spirit-led strategist as illuminated by this memoir? How would you sum it up?
The memoir beautifully summarizes it. A high strategist with a military background and strong Christian values brings a truly unique combination of disciplined execution, profound strategic foresight, and deep spiritual alignment. They don't just solve problems or execute plans. They serve, lead, and build with an unwavering dual commitment to both strategic excellence and their faith, profoundly believing that they are accomplishing the Lord's tasks and fulfilling a higher purpose. It's a powerful and deeply impactful synergy.
As we wrap up this deep dive, it's clear this memoir offers immense value, not just as a fascinating exploration of a unique mindset, but as a practical guide. For you, the listener, whether you are one of these strategists or work alongside them, it provides a powerful look at your strategic future.
Yeah, this memoir is truly more than just a guide. It's a profound validation of your unique operating system, especially if you're a high-level strategist yourself. And for everyone, it's a meticulously crafted playbook for thriving in any environment, civilian or otherwise. Whether you're leading one of these individuals or seeking to better understand and harness your own strategic mind, it's about recognizing and maximizing this unique potential.
So for everyone listening, there's a call to leaders and individuals. What should they do?
Yes. Leaders seeking to enhance their organizations, individuals who identify as high-level strategists looking for self-understanding, and really everyone in between. We urge you to take the time to read the memoir at the website.
Okay.
It will help you gain a profound understanding of high-level strategists and learn how to work effectively with them, or maybe to better navigate your own incredibly strategic mind.
The memoir also offers a truly hopeful perspective on the unyielding spirit of these individuals. It reminds us that their contribution doesn't end with their military service, does it?
That's such a crucial point. It emphasizes that high-level strategists, especially those from military backgrounds, still have so much to give, even after decades of intense mental and physical service. Deep down in their heart and soul, their strategic juice remains. They simply might need some help and a chance to refocus their powerful capabilities in a new mission. Once they regain that clarity and purpose, they will do wonders, bringing transformative change wherever they apply their skills. It's about recognizing that immense, often untapped potential.
And it brings us back to that powerful metaphor that started our deep dive. Your $4 million machine, engineered for excellence, one last time.
Indeed. The memoir reiterates, the best part is that you're getting a machine with over 4 million features that provides education, mentorship, and skills in multiple areas. Let's use them. It's a profound call to empathy, recognition, and action for all of us. Let's extend to them the hope and the second chance they profoundly deserve, allowing them to channel their incredible abilities. They once had your back, often literally, and now it's our turn to give them that respect and support in return, leveraging their unparalleled gifts for the betterment of our communities and organizations.
And there's a clear final call to action through Chaplain David Averitt's organization, CAJL Outreach. How can people connect?
Absolutely. Are you ready to explore how high strategists can transform your organization or find guidance for your own strategic journey? If you're an individual seeking direction and resources or simply someone to talk to, CAJL Outreach is there for you.
Okay.
Leaders with high-level strategists on their team who need support in guiding them are also strongly encouraged to reach out. Never give up on hope and second chances. At www.cjailoutreach.org, they're dedicated to helping individuals struggling with life's challenges, including those impacted by the justice system and their families.
Chris, you know.
They always welcome a helping hand, and every donation makes a significant difference to their vital mission. And you can read the full in-depth memoir, which is 17 pages, by visiting the website tab, leadership/memoir.
Leadership/memoir. Got it.
And once again, as we discussed right at the top of the show, we must reemphasize the crucial medical disclaimer. Remember, this content is for informational purposes only.
Yes, please remember this.
If you need mental or physical attention or have questions about your well-being, call the VA or your medical provider. Don't wait or overlook your condition. Get help.
A powerful message to end on, echoing Chaplain David Everett's final word from the memoir. Embrace this knowledge, apply these principles, and witness the transformative change that follows. And if you're curious to dive even deeper after reading the memoir, it includes a wealth of supporting materials listed at the end.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, it draws on expert research and support from the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation for Understanding Well-Being and comprehensive data from Army Public Health regarding military health and wellness.
Right. Credible stuff.
Definitely. And for those interested in the spiritual dimension we discussed, the King James Version of the Bible is a core reference, along with research from groups like Barna Group's Veterans in the Church Report and Pew Research Center's Religion and Public Life, Veterans in Faith. You can find all of these and more listed in the memoir on the CAE Jail Outreach website. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next deep dive. Stay safe. Goodbye. And until the trumpet blows, have a fantastic day.
Thanks for joining us on The Growth Journey. If you're ready to keep growing in faith, leadership, and life, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone on their own path. For more resources to connect with David Everett, visit cajailoutreach.org. Until next time, keep pursuing real life, real growth, and divinely inspired results.